In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, we'll find the subject for our study this morning. Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 12. In Philippians 2 and in verse 12, Paul said, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but thou much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Brother Van did a good reading of verse 5 through verse 11 of this text a few moments ago. Remember in verse 5 through verse 11, the supreme example of obedience was given for us. The supreme example of the obedience of Jesus, who obeyed the Father even to the point of the death, even the death of the cross. So note how this passage begins. Therefore. Therefore. Based upon his obedience, he says to the Philippian brethren, "My beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." The Philippians had a commendable record, did they not? You have always obeyed. That word always means at all times and on all occasions. I want you to think about that. Always obey. At all times and on all occasions. What consistency. Do we have such consistency in our life? Are we as regular in the obedience as these Philippian brethren? They indeed were consistent. And it had always been that way, whether Paul was present with them or whether he was absent. Remember, he's absent on this occasion because he's in prison at Rome. But even in his absence, the Philippian brethren are still obedient. Paul commended them when he said, "My beloved." Not only were they loved of God, but they were loved by Paul. It is an expression of his esteem for them. He held them dear. It was an expression of his, indeed, affection for them as brethren in Christ. Paul commanded these people in the church at Philippi to work out your own salvation. Work out your own salvation. I thought it would be a good study for us to consider this theme this morning. Work out your own salvation. First, we need to think about who it is that Paul is giving this command to. This command is given to Christians. They were indeed Christians. They had already obeyed the gospel. They had already become Christians. But nonetheless, Paul tells them to work out your own salvation. In Acts 16 and in verse 13, "And on the Sabbath day we went out of the city to the riverside." Note the "we." The writer of Acts includes himself on this occasion with those under consideration, Paul and Silas. So Luke is mentioned here as they come to the city of Philippi and they go outside the city where prayer is customarily made. There's no synagogue in the city of Philippi. It's a Gentile city. And so on this occasion they went out to the riverside where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. What do you suppose Paul spoke on this occasion? Well, he preached the word of God. That's what he did. And when she heard, when she and her household heard, they were baptized. They were baptized, and she begged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." So she persuaded us. So we see that the church at Philippi had a beginning on the riverbanks outside the city of Philippi. When one heard the gospel preached by Paul and Silas and Luke on this occasion, they simply responded in obedience to the gospel. You might say they worked. They engaged in some work. They had to pay attention. They had to heed. They had to listen to what was being said. They had to believe what was being said. As a matter of fact, belief itself is a work. John 6 and in verse 28, Some of the Jews in Capernaum said to Jesus, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." So did the Philippians not work? They certainly did. Work includes belief. So hearing the word, they believed it and they responded in baptism. Back in Acts 16 and in verse 30, when Paul and Silas were thrown in prison and then beaten in the city of Philippi for preaching and teaching the word of Christ, the prison doors were opened at night by a great earthquake brought about by God, and the Philippian jailer said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household." Is Paul and Silas telling the Philippian jailer on this occasion, "Well, there's work for you to do. You're going to have to believe. Remember, belief is a work." Regardless of what the denominational world says, you know, they say that the Church of Christ teaches salvation by works. Well, Jesus must have taught salvation by works because belief itself is a work, and Paul on this occasion tells the Philippian jailer to work to bring about his salvation. What must I do to be saved? Well, believe, and belief is a word. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. Well, the Philippian jailer didn't know what to believe about the Lord. So in order to believe, the word had to be spoken. Then they spoke the word of the Lord, the gospel, the word of God to him and all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. Immediately he and all of his family were baptized. And when he had brought them into the house and had set food before them, he rejoiced, having believed in God with all of his household. Thus belief is a work. They work to bring about their salvation. So even to these Christians to whom Paul was writing when he said, "Work out your salvation," they'd already engaged in work in times past to bring about their immediate salvation, the forgiveness of their sins. They had worked out their salvation up to this point. But they had not done this by devising their own plan. They had not done this by engaging in works of merit to earn their salvation. In Philippians 3 and in verse 1, "Finally, my brethren," Paul referred to them as, they were brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ. Why? Because they had engaged in the same kind of work that Paul had. Not preaching and teaching the word, but believing in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, then responding in the work of baptism. That is, submitting to that work or act or condition by which they could bring about their salvation. Acts 22 and verse 16. "And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." That's why Paul could refer to them as brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ. Because they had both engaged in the same work that brought them to be in the family of God. They had indeed worked out their salvation up to this period of time. But again, they had not come up with their own plan. They had not engaged in works of merit to earn their salvation. Ephesians 2 and in verse 8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It," that is salvation, "is the gift of God, not of works of merit, as if you've earned this salvation, lest anyone should boast." We don't come up with our own plan, our own works, to bring about our salvation. No, we simply work the works of God. And so the Philippian brethren had indeed engaged in some works up to this period of time, but Paul says, "Work out your own salvation." They had engaged in some work to bring about their immediate salvation, but there was more work that needed to be done. Work out. This phrase, "work out," means to bring it about. To bring about your salvation, to accomplish your salvation, to carry it to its ultimate conclusion. The teacher might say to the student, "Work out the math problem." That is, carry the problem to its ultimate conclusion. That's the way the word is used in this text. Work out your own salvation. Carry it to its ultimate conclusion. They had worked to bring about their immediate salvation, but there was more work that needed to be done. And this is the way it is used in the text. The Philippians are exhorted to carry their salvation to its ultimate conclusion. Thayer's lexicon says they are to make every effort to obtain salvation. They're to do what is necessary to bring about their salvation. Well, that brings us to this point. What was it that these Christians had to work out? They had to work out their own salvation. Salvation means deliverance from the power and consequences of sin. But in our text, it's not immediate salvation. They had already worked that out by following God's plan. They had heard the gospel. They had believed the gospel. They had responded to the gospel in baptism. So when Paul says, work out your own salvation here, he cannot have in mind their immediate salvation. Their salvation from the forgiveness of sins. Because they had already received that when they obeyed the gospel. As Mark 16 and verse 15 and 16 says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. That's what the Philippians had done. They had believed the gospel and responded in baptism. Thus they were saved. They were saved from their sins. They received immediate salvation. But again, Paul is writing to Christians and he tells them to work out their own salvation. Bring their salvation to its ultimate conclusion. Remember the Philippian jailer. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? The Philippian jailer indeed worked. He believed and responded in baptism. He brought about his immediate salvation. But to work out one's own salvation in our text has reference to one's eternal salvation. His salvation in heaven and the after a while. In Romans 13 in verse 1, Paul said, and do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first began. Remember, Paul is writing to the saints at Rome. He's writing to Christians. And he says, and do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time. High simply means it's already time. It's already time to wake up out of spiritual stupor. It's already to wake up out of this spiritual sleep that you're in. For now, our salvation, our eternal salvation, our salvation that is awaiting for us in heaven is nearer than when we first believed. Why? Because time has gone by. Each day of our life, as we live, as time goes by, we get nearer and nearer our eternal salvation. Now for some, it might seem like they get further and further away from their eternal salvation because they keep putting off initial salvation. And they're getting further and further away. Why? Because their heart is becoming calloused. They said, well, I've lived up to this point and I've never obeyed the gospel. I'm still doing fine, I think. Everything's going well. I'm a success in life. Are you? You're getting further and further away from salvation. You're not getting closer and closer to salvation. But for the child of God that lives faithful in Christ Jesus, each day of his life brings him closer and closer to his eternal well-being in heaven above with God and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This salvation is in heaven awaiting us. 1 Peter 1, verse 3 and following, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Note this, to an inheritance, there's our eternal inheritance, incorruptible, literally imperishable, undefiled, and that does not fade away. Undefiled, it's not soiled or stained by sin in any way. And it does not fade away. Most versions render the phrase unfading. It's like a beautiful rose. A gorgeous rose that never fades away. That's the way our eternal salvation will be. It will be unfading, undefiled, and imperishable. It'll last forever. Reserved in heaven for you who are kept, note that, by the power of God through faith. Kept by the power of God. The power of God is the gospel. We're kept, we're preserved by the gospel if we simply live it out in our lives. Through faith, through an obedience of faith, through continuing to obey. Kept by the power of God through faith for salvation. In order to, salvation to be revealed in the last day. This salvation requires work, brethren. Philippians 2 and in verse 12 again. Work out your own salvation. Requires work. We just can't sit around and do nothing. We just can't sit around and think, well, salvation is going to come without doing anything. No, you know what comes without doing anything, Brother Pike reminds us from time to time. Eternal condemnation comes without doing anything. You don't have to do anything to go to hell. That's where you'll go. But in order to go to heaven, you're going to have to do something. Work out your own salvation. Now, there's an ellipsis in this verse here. An ellipsis is the omission of words that's necessarily understood, but they're not put in the text. When Paul said, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, as or just as or even as you have always obeyed." Here's the ellipsis. So continue to obey. That's his point. As you have always obeyed, so continue to obey. To continue to obey is working out your salvation. That's what you do to work out your salvation. Your eternal salvation requires you doing something. Well, whose salvation are these Christians to work out? Think about that. They to work out someone else's salvation? No, they to work out their own salvation. There's some things we have to do for ourselves. You know, we live in a time in which we want somebody to do everything for us. But when it comes to our salvation, we have to do it for ourselves. Your mom and dad can't save you. Your brother or sister can't save you. Your fellow Christian can't save you. You're going to have to work out your own salvation. And that's exactly what Paul told these on this occasion. There are some things that each of us have to do. And this is one of those things. Romans 14 and verse 12. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Each one of us is going to have to stand before God and give an account of ourselves before Him. In Romans 2 and in verse 6, for God will render to each one according to his deeds, according to his works, eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also for the Greek, for there is no partiality with God. Yes, whose salvation are they to work out? Their own. Whose salvation are we to work out? Our own salvation. Amen. If we're waiting on someone else to do it for us, it's not going to happen. You know, I have some tasks, responsibilities, and duties in my own life, as you do in yours. And I'm sure you could perhaps think of some of those tasks, responsibilities, and duties that you engage in on a weekly basis or a monthly basis, that if they were left undone, nobody else would do them. So you just go ahead and do it. Well, salvation is one of those things. Your salvation is left up to you. You're going to have to work it out. If you leave it undone, guess what? Nobody else is going to do it for you because they can't. It's something you have to do for yourself. Now, does that mean these people, and does that mean Paul was telling these people, these Christians in Philippi, don't be concerned about other people's salvation. Work out your own salvation. No, he wasn't saying that. Because these people, although they were to work out their own salvation, they were also concerned about the salvation of others. In Philippians 4 and in verse 15, Paul said of the Philippians, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica you sent aid once and again for my necessities." Aid once and again. At least two times, perhaps more, the Philippian brethren sent financial aid to Paul so he could preach and teach the gospel to others. So the Philippian brethren were concerned about others' salvation. So when Paul said, work out your own salvation, he wasn't telling them to be selfish. He was just telling them to do something that no one else could do for them. But they were also concerned about the salvation of others. Well, what is the work which is to be done toward obtaining salvation? What is the work? Well, we've actually noted this earlier already. It's obedience. That's the work that is to be done. As or just as or even as you have always obeyed. Note, remember the lipsis. So continue to obey. Not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out. In order to put that ellipsis in there, the New International Version said, continue to work out. So how do they continue to work out their salvation? The way they began to work their salvation. They began in obedience and they've always obeyed. So continue to obey. That's the point. And in continuing to obey, you work out your own salvation. So there's some things that the saints at Philippi needed to do. In obedience, they needed to continue. And by doing that, they would work out their own salvation. There were some others in the New Testament mentioned who needed to continue in obedience. Remember, Paul wrote to the churches of Galatia. He wrote to Christians. In Galatians 3 and verse 1, he said, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Had the Galatians not obeyed the truth? Indeed, they had obeyed the truth. They were Christians. The point is, who has bewitched you, tricked you, and deceived you into not continuing to obey the truth? There were some Judaizing teachers that were influencing them. And so the Galatian brethren, some of them were no longer in obedience to the truth, to the gospel. And so Paul encourages them to continue to obey the truth that they had first obeyed. See it again in Galatians 5 and verse 7. You ran well, who hindered you from obeying the truth? Had they not obeyed the truth? Indeed, they had obeyed the truth. They had become Christians. Who hindered you from continuing to obey the truth? And so, that's what the Philippian brethren needed to do. In order to work out their salvation, they needed to continue to obey. They needed to continue to obey the truth. This continued obedience refers to the struggle to do right in the sight of God. To serve God according to the teaching of His Word. To do what they were commanded to do. Philippians 2 and in verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Note this. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for His good pleasure. It is God who works in you. There's that word works we've seen before from God. The Greek word from which we get our English word energy. God works in you. You know, this working out our own salvation, it's not all on our shoulder. We engage in work. God works in us. We don't have to do it by ourselves. God works in us to help us bring about our own salvation. Regardless of what the denominational world teaches about the Church of Christ, we don't believe salvation is all of man and none of God. Of course, the denominational world teaches salvation is all of God and none of man. No, salvation involves both man and God. Man has a responsibility in regard to his salvation. He has to work in order to bring about his salvation. But God works as well. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. And thus, do all things without complaining and murmuring. How would they work out their salvation? By doing all things, engaging in the work without complaining and disputing. That, in order that, or so that you might become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom also you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I might rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. indeed. They're to continue in obedience and work out their own salvation. Philippians 3 and in verse 19, he said, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Does it sound like Paul has quit working in his life that he might receive the eternal salvation? No, he presses toward the goal. That's the goal. That's the prize that is waiting. Philippians 3 and in verse 15. "Therefore let us, as many as are mature, spiritually mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God reveals it this even to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we've already attained, to the degree that we've come to a certain degree of spiritual maturity, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things." No, we need to set our mind on heavenly things. We need to continue to obey in order to work out our own salvation. Amen. Well, we might say, why work? The answer is there. Why work? For our salvation. For our salvation. They'd already been saved. They'd already received the remission of sins. But their eternal salvation was waiting on them if they continued to obey. They did that by working out, bringing their salvation to its ultimate conclusion. Well, we might ask, well, how is this work to be done? How is it to be done? Well, Paul answers that with fear and trembling. That's how this work is to be engaged in. Remember, the work is the work of obedience, continued obedience. It's to be done with fear and trembling. To work out salvation with fear and trembling is to fear God with such reverence and awe that we seek to do His will and tremble at the thought of failing. That's the idea, with fear. We should have such reverence and awe for God in carrying out His will, that is, in obedience to His Word. We should have such reverence and awe that we tremble at the thought of failing to do His will. It is reverence and awe that is under consideration by the word fear. It's not the quaking in our boots. Fear and trembling. Fear, reverence, and awe that causes us to tremble, lest we fall short of doing what He has required of us in obedience. Isaiah said in Isaiah 66 and verse 2, "For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word," has such reverence and respect for his word that it causes him to tremble. This is the ideal of feeling great awe for God, to the end that we are so impressed with the importance of doing His will and what He has told us to do with the right attitude, that we tremble at the thought of falling short. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13, Solomon said, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments." Our duty in this life as mankind is to have reverence and awe for God and His Word. That's our whole purpose of being. And I think Brother Pike brought that out Wednesday evening in our invitation. Our whole purpose of being is simply to have reverence and awe for God and carry out His Word in our life. We were created for the purpose of worshiping Him. This Word, or this phrase, "with fear and trembling," only occurs three times in the New Testament, or three other times other than what we've seen. And each time it has reference to obedience. 1 Corinthians 2 and in verse 3. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. When he was preaching the gospel and trying to get the Corinthians to obey. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 15. And his afflictions are greater for you. His, under consideration, is Titus. And his afflictions are greater for you as he remembers the obedience of you all. How with fear and trembling you received him. See how it's connected with obedience? Ephesians 6 and in verse 5. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in sincerity of heart as to Christ. With fear and trembling. Always in connection with obedience. Reverence and awe in respect to carrying out the will of God in obedience. This is a matter of utmost importance. We are to exhibit the utmost care lest we fail to heed the instructions because we all have the possibility of failing. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Let us work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Let us tremble at the thought that we will fail because there is a possibility. Don't think your salvation is so secure that you cannot fail. We all can fail. Amen. Let us continually heed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 2 and in verse 1. Therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? How shall we escape so great a salvation? If you let that salvation slip by, you'll be like those who lived under the Old Testament law. And they suffered because of their disobedience and every transgression of that law. Some of them was even put to death physically. They lost their eternal well-being. We will lose our eternal salvation if we let that so great of salvation that's provided for us slip away. So let us work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Don't think we can sit back and take our ease. We must continue to work. We must continue to obey. If you've not begun to work, why not? Believe the gospel and respond in obedience and baptism. You'll be saved. But again, that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. You have much work to do. Continue to obey. The lesson is yours. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, believe the gospel, respond in obedience, become a child of God this day. If you're a Christian and have sin in your life, we encourage you. Repent of that sin. Confess that sin to God, and we'll pray with you and for you as we stand and sing the song that has been selected.